Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I have been telling you we're going to be talking about today, just treat me like I matter. And as I mentioned yesterday to let you know about the show, that there's so many times we have felt that way. We want to say to someone, would you please treat me like I matter? Well, my guest today, Diane Marie Pinkard, not only used that as a title, but also had a subtitle saying The Heart of Sales. But the information in this book, I think, empowers anyone when you're wanting to know how to be more effective in your life. And the reality is we all are salespeople. Believe it or not, we all are salespeople, and we want to be able to sell ourselves. And some of you may chuckle and say, well, Donna, you know, we can take it in a certain way. And I want to say, yes, you can. You can take it in any way you like. But the greatest gift you can ever give yourself is that personal empowerment that enables you to present the very best of who you are. So I want to welcome to my show Diane Marie Pinkard. Diane, it's a delight to have you as a guest today.
And it is delightful to be on with you, Donna. Thank you.
Now, I have to let my listeners know that when I booked you and we were talking about your being my guest, you were so anxious because you had gone through something very unique. You developed a paralyzed voice cord.
Yes, and it happened from a viral cold.
Amazing.
Yep.
So you have been going through a type of therapy.
Yes.
That, and it's the change in you is just phenomenal.
Well, since we've met, I think you can see or you can hear a difference.
Oh, big difference.
I almost had no voice after it happened. It was about four months ago. And now I've been going to voice therapy for about 2 weeks. And I've lost that high, squeaky high pitch that I had when you met me.
It was great
and
Cinderella
can...
for Augusta. So I can... But it doesn't serve well, and you do have a nice speaking voice. So this is something, though, I wanted to share with my audience because so frequently we wonder, what do people do if they encountered something like this? And you mentioned Eliza Doolittle in My Fair
yes.
Lady and the scene where Rex scenes, actually, there were multiple ones, where Rex Harrison was teaching her how to speak because her elocution was less than desirable and then some. And he got her all groomed up in her voice and her modulation. You know, she had that high stuff that you know, that comes with that kind
and Donna,
of English accent. Yes.
And Donna, when they charted me, I felt like Eliza because I just went off the charts when they recorded my sounds. But in 2 weeks, they're starting to come just a little bit into range.
And that is phenomenal. Now, I want my audience to know a little bit about you because you received at the California State Teaching Credential, you received and earned your California State Teaching Credential and Master's Degree from California Polytechnic University in San Luis Obispo. And you decided at that time you were going to be big time in psychology and social sciences. But you found your passion was really in dealing with human relationships.
Yes.
And you went into your own study of personal human dynamics. You've launched and operated 3 successful businesses and you are admired by many people as being a very effective salesperson with a special expertise in high-tech retail, which is a significant accomplishment. Diane, when you think of your education and when you think of how you evolved into the study of human relations, what were the particular buttons of curiosity that were pushed within you that made you decide that you wanted to explore this environment?
Well, I also like to add to my study of human dynamics, I say I love to figure out what makes people tick.
Oh.
And that's just my little layman way of saying what you said in a more professional way. And I think it started, and I probably should have put that in the profile about myself in my book cover, because about me being a school teacher. And I was an elementary school teacher for 8 years. And I'll tell you, Donna, if you want to learn about yourself, and again, in a sense, I realized I was becoming a salesman then, because you have 30 kids for all day, and you've got to keep them entertained. You've got to keep them stimulated. You've got to keep them, you know, conducting mm-hmm. themselves in a civilized manner, that they're not killing each other in the classroom when it gets too hot or too cold or the wind is blowing too hard outside. And so what I started to realize, that I had this innate ability to connect with people, to get them to be able to tap into their own rich resources, and then find their own, you know, in fifth grade, kids are just breaking away from their teachers a little bit, their parents, and they're starting to flop their wings a little bit for the first time in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great age to start helping young people help themselves. Well, then as my life evolved into business and sales and so forth, I realized people said, why don't you go back to teaching? That's your calling. And I said, no, someday I'm going to write a book and I want to help adults.
Good for
you. And that's where I feel like I've gained so much. Now I want to give back. And I feel like with my teaching ability, there's so much, you know, you can see how I write. Very
mm-hmm.
down home. I like to make you feel like you and I are just sitting there chatting together as I give you my little pearls of wisdom.
Your mother made a statement to you many years ago. She said, Diane, all of your abilities to perform out in the real world positively come from your father. You are just like him, and you can do and accomplish anything you set your mind to do. I don't have all of these abilities, but the one thing I did give you is your great outgoing personality. What a mother!
Yes, she did. My mother, from the time we were little, we didn't go anywhere. It's a little bit like your Freeman. We didn't go anywhere that she met a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And she taught us social graces. She taught us how to treat people like they mattered. She treated me. I have a sister, Sister Sherry, and she treated us like we mattered. And she just taught us this natural, beautiful gift of. And then even though she wasn't a teacher, her father was a kind of a Renaissance man.
Mm-hmm.
So she always dropped her little sayings and her little pearls as life would unfold. And, yes, she's going on 90 in Santa Barbara, California.
Oh,
and
my.
And she still will pass a pearl along every once in a while.
How fabulous. Well, she just sounds like a woman that had so much zest.
Yes.
Has so much zest for life. And obviously, that is a gift that she gave to you.
Yes.
You said the biggest lesson you learned in growing up was that it didn't matter wherever you went or who you met, you still took the same Diane with you. And I think that to learn that particular awareness empowers someone so much, because then they don't have to worry about wearing all kinds of masks. And being afraid of not being true to themselves. What's your feeling on that?
Oh, Donna, you just hit the nail on the head. I get to be me now. But you know what age I was at when I really locked that in? I was 50.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember in my introduction, I talk about going out on my midlife crisis and working on a dude ranch in Jackson Hole, Wyoming for 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And back with my mom, and I didn't have this in the book, but you'll get a kick out of this. The first 3 weeks, I didn't let them know I had any personality, because I knew how I loved fun, but I went to really soul search and get to know Diane for the first because there was nobody there with me. No one knew me. I did this alone, mm-hmm. and I was truly going to get to know Diane. So for the first 3 weeks, they didn't think that I had any personality. And I have to tell you, I did a lot of crying. I did a lot of walking. I did a lot of cleansing and clearing and just thinking of these 50 years that I had had before that. And it was a real, it was the hardest experience of my life, but it's the most fruitful experience of my life. Because like you said, now I have that personal gift and freedom just to be me.
While you were in Wyoming, you got to know a man by the name of Jim.
Yeah.
And I loved what he said to you. He said, Diane, when all is said and done, all we can take with us are our memories. So you might as well make them as rich and meaningful as you can while you're here on this earth.
Yes,
and one
he
of
did.
The issues you mention about that you dealt with, which I think every living person has, is unfulfilled ghosts. What were your unfulfilled ghosts?
One more time on that question. Yeah, I already was moaning. Like, or sighing. Let's put it that way, going, oh, give me that question.
Yeah, unfulfilled ghosts. That was a term, two words, unfulfilled ghosts. What were your unfulfilled ghosts?
Well, at that time, I'm 63 years old, and I was on a path that my parents had assigned me since I was probably from the time I was born or shortly thereafter. I was to get, you know, go to school, be a good girl, first be a good girl, and do everything as right as I could, and go to school, prepare for college, go through college, get your college education, and then get married.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was the days of still the white picket fence and the station wagon and the kids and the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all of this. I did kind of drag it out a little bit. I married at 23, but I didn't have my children until I was 30. And this gnawing just kept coming at me in middle age because, truthfully, what I wanted to do when I finished college was I wanted to go out and work on a dude ranch. Or, well, we didn't call it a dude ranch then. I didn't even know what they were. But I wanted to go out and do something very independently. But that was not in my blueprint of how I had been raised. And so, at 50, I did go out and take that big step.
Well, I think that that is awesome. And that leads me right into one of the beginning chapters in your book regarding personal growth. These are things that you have shared that you yourself have gone through. And it's important to realize that we all have cycles in our lives. And when we're young, we're busy about doing what's expected or whatever we think the script is supposed to be. And just like you said, when you get into your 50s, then there is this big aha, and it's like Patti Page's song, is that all there is? And you go, there's got to be something else because I'm just yearning for it. And that's what you bring to the forefront in your book, Just Treat Me Like I Matter. And part of that is not just the way other people treat us, but the way we treat ourselves.
That's
and you
right.
address that very well.
Yes.
Very, very well. And you talk about creating a dream, a vision, committing your heart to it, you know, and then being willing to go through. You've got some wonderful, wonderful stories in here, especially about stepping up to your potential and not comparing yourself with others and how do you want to be perceived and the things that you can go through. But I want to, because the book is very, very well done, what I'd like to do is go into one statement that you make in this portion of your book, and that is to learn to love your human flaws as much as your perfection.
Oh.
And, boy, I don't know about anybody else, but when we feel like we've got goofitis big time or that we are klutz of the year or whatever other term we want to put to ourselves, we really capitalize that. I mean, that becomes so big that we don't pay attention to the good things that we have about ourselves.
And that is one of the greatest outcomes of being in Wyoming for those 5 months and having time to look back on things that I had done in my life that I wasn't as happy with or wished I had, you know, those woulda, coulda, shouldas.
Mm-hmm.
And look, and again, in that beautiful Wyoming sky, and just saying to myself, Diane, you did the best you knew how to at the time, and
mm-hmm.
let it go. Like these clouds move across the sky. Today is a new day. It's a beautiful day. What can I do now forward and build on what has been my past? Don't let it haunt me. And I
Good
did.
Point.
I gained that freedom from that summer, no question about it.
Now, I know sales has been a very significant part of your life, and you're very
mm-hmm.
skilled with it. You bring out some points, though, in your book that, again, I think anybody could read this. I think
yes.
you have teenagers that could read it. I think mature
yes.
people,
parents.
Whether they're in sales, parents, it doesn't make any difference. You've got a lot of wisdom that you have put into this book. One of the things that you talk about is, and I found this very interesting, is how to breathe when you're speaking. Pay attention to the speed of your words. And that is something we learn.
That's right.
Not everybody's going to just, very few people have this naturally. That's why music is so important and public speaking and things like this, the various aspects that can be taught in school when you're young, because these are things you can learn, little
That's
subtleties.
Correct.
And then eye contact you talk about. Boy, is that a big one.
And manners.
Manners. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We could spend
yes.
a whole week on manners.
That's right. And to tell you the truth, if I can interrupt you a second.
Sure. Go right
ahead. I'm one of those that if I get an idea, I just go for it. And so I can kind of get into things being a little green. And truthfully, I wanted to write the self-help book that I would have loved to have read, because I've read it since I have a cute, real quick story on that too, but I've read it since I was 16, started reading it since I was 16
mm-hmm.
years of age.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was told is that's a little too broad, and go for a niche, more, you know, kind of have your target market. And I thought, well, with all my experience in sales and salespeople need what this book is about, but you're totally right. Truthfully, we're all salespeople in our own delightful right, and we can all gain a ton of information from this book. You're totally right on that.
Yes, and you not only talk about eye contact, which in our culture, in the American culture, in the Western culture, that's
mm-hmm.
very important. Depends on other
yes.
cultures in the world, that may, you know, be dangerous. But
mm-hmm.
it's something that typically the openness, people say they
right.
can always recognize Americans because they have this way of looking you right in the eye and
mm-hmm.
it's face on. You know, it's just,
mm-hmm.
you're right there, clear. They can look right into your eyes. There's no secrets. And
that's right.
at least, you know, if you're an honorable person, there aren't any. But
right.
there's that demeanor of confidence that comes by looking at someone directly in the eye. And all of these little things that you give as tips is very important. And you make a statement about eye contact that it's a silent communication message about you and your relationship with yourself.
That's right. Yes.
And that, I think, is significant. And
yes.
people watch the eyes.
And that's the windows to the soul.
Mm-hmm.
You can see right in. And another thing that goes with that, and from maybe I feel where you're at, but also when you have that kind of eye contact, because we are either sometimes unconsciously, but we are aware of body language.
Oh,
the
yes.
better your eye contact, the better your body language goes that goes
mm-hmm.
with it, that reflects about yourself also.
Oh, I agree. And
yes.
then treating the customer, whoever you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
as if they are the only customer you have. Now,
if
you apply that to any interaction that you have with people, if you're in a grocery
right.
store, no matter
yes.
where you are, if you give that person that's in front of you your total focused attention, they
yes.
know it.
Oh, and they feel it quickly. Absolutely.
It's immediate. Absolutely
yes.
amazing. And you give all of these wonderful little gems throughout your book that I just think is so positive. And one of the things I thought your suggestion was very good. My husband and I like to do this frequently. And I was just engaged in a recent local event, and I was doing this, and it fascinated me to watch people. You say, take a day off and go visit showrooms, or maybe you could go into a mall, or if you're attending a big event, this is summertime, there's a lot of things going on. Watch people.
Yes.
And they can tell you phenomenal things just watching them.
Yes. And then you, as you're watching them, and because we are a mirror of each other, you can kind of go, oh, golly, I realize I do that. Or, oh, golly, I see why that doesn't work when I do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because everything's changing, but human nature does not change.
That is for sure. Now, this one really got me when I came across it. It says, see yourself like a duck. Now, wait.
Oh, isn't that?
I mean, I watch ducks, I love ducks, but I don't want to walk like a duck. I don't want to look like a duck, even though I live in the Northwest where we swear we never want to get webbed feet, and we do. So tell us about the duck.
Well, I had a sales rep that told me that story, and it's a little different than I'll bet you've ever heard a duck story, and I've never heard that one except the way I got this one.
Mm-hmm.
When we're in sales or we're in the public light or just life today, we're busy. But again, this goes back to, like you said, at the grocery store. If you take a moment and let somebody go first, or you make eye contact and say, hey, I see you've got a lot of stuff, or, you know, go ahead and put them up on the counter. You just do something. It makes them feel that you slow down and you become aware of somebody else. You make a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of what happens with the duck. You see the duck, and I can relate from having a showroom. I mean, I was busy. So when you see that beautiful duck on the water, what do you feel? Peace. I feel peace and grace. And it's just so eloquent to watch that duck. And as he moves around, you don't see any effort. But if you look under the water, those little feet are just paddling like crazy to get him to where he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's taking you, and again, this is a great thing to bring up, or point to bring up, Donna, because we're all living in that fast lane today. And the bottom part of us, we're like the ducks under the water. We're just rushing and hurrying everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to take on the demeanor. We have to be aware of that demeanor of the upper part of the duck and calm down, so that when we come into the company and presence of others, we can take a moment to, again, breathe, just take it all in, and connect with them and treat them like they matter. Am I kind of getting to the point that you were wanting me to go?
I think so. And I think that, you know, what popped into my head was like Hans Christian Andersen's story about the ugly duckling.
Yes.
You know, you have this other side, too, that comes into play. And I think the gracefulness that you're portraying and saying things can, you know, you look so smooth. You think of any athlete. You think of a ballet dancer that looks like what they're doing is so effortless, and yet it's taken them years to be able to get to where they are. So I really appreciated that story. Now, you talk about journaling, personal study, and charting your progress. Did you do this yourself?
I do it on kind of a regular, not on a daily basis. You know, it's like the seasons. These ebbs and flows come and go. And I, like I say, in my life, a lot of people like when they're on the mountaintop rather than down in the valley, because the valley is kind of the low place, and of course the mountaintop is high. But I've learned to really enjoy being in the valley, because that's where I get my growth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when we go into those tough times and struggles that the best growth comes from. So when I'm kind of on the mountaintops, I don't have too much time for journaling and studying and so forth, because, you know, I'm kind of the cock of the walk at that point. But, boy, inevitably, something comes along that down the hill I go. And that's when I go back in and really start looking back. I chart a little bit, and I certainly write and journal.
One of the biggest components that I think is important in today's world, it's not texting, it's not emailing.
No.
It's interaction with the voice via the telephone. And it's sad to me when I look at how many people are not aware how significant that is. And
yes.
I see salespeople all the time. They'll talk and they just don't have a clue. Let's go into good phone communication and why it's so important.
Well, my mind is kind of jumping all over because one thing I see about people, not only do they know what to know, they do not even know what to say on the phone. They don't even have phone manners with a telephone.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can be in a business working with someone and the phone rings and you're in the middle of the sentence and they pick up the phone and start talking to this person. I mean, right there, they have just, in my opinion, used just horrible phone etiquette, and they're not honoring the person that is live in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So one part of it is manners, and the other is, as you say, when they get on the phone, first thing I like to do is, and I've done this with you, I say, Donna, it's Diane Pinkard calling. Do you have a moment?
Mm-hmm.
I know you live a busy life. I mean, you get your time to relax, but when you're on, you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first thing I like to say, because what if you're in the middle of something and I just start right in on myself? And very few people, I shouldn't say very few, that's just a real point, I think, that can be, you know, and I wished I'd put that in the book. I didn't put it in, and it's come to me since. But I can add to that if you wish, or you go where you want to go at this point.
Well, I think you make some very good points in your book regarding about the phone, and that is when you get a phone call, and I've been doing this for a long time, and when I don't,
I get into trouble.
It's writing down the name of the person that calls
yes.
you, and
yes.
you can have people from anywhere and everywhere calling, so it's a good idea to develop the habit of having a pad. I don't know what happens with my pad's of paper, and they seem to have legs on them. They wander. I don't know. They seem to have the traveling syndrome. And
they end up in the garbage. Then we're digging for them.
Yes, I mean, it's amazing. But you need to have a pad of paper handy by the phone.
Yes,
so that
always.
You can write things down. And it really mm-hmm. does make a difference. And when people leave a message, to always talk slowly and clearly, state their name and phone number. And what people don't realize
yes.
is that if they're on a cell phone, they're assuming that that's a clear signal. And I can't tell you how many times people have left messages for me. I couldn't even understand them because it was going in and out, in and out, in and out.
Absolutely. That is. And it can be an important phone number and phone call that you need to be able to respond back to.
Right.
And I guess your point there is that we have to be, because we so many of us are on cell phones today, is to be sensitive to the space we're in when we are leaving that message, that you have a clear signal at that point, and speak clearly and slowly and repeat it twice. Because like you say, if that phone number gets kind of broken up the first time and you didn't get the third digit, hopefully if it's repeated the second time, you can fill that in.
Correct. Well, Diane, I know we're running out of time, and there are so many points in your book dealing with difficult situations, how, you know, to talk about price, how to be able to sell yourself. You've got power tools that we need to develop. In fact, let me just run through a couple of them just to give people an idea. Always honor honesty. Boy, is that a big one. And you look at politicians and the other creeps of the world that are getting all of the publicity. We don't give people who are honest any publicity, any credit or credibility.
No.
And I think that that's a sad statement. But that's important because your honesty is going to follow you no matter where you go.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Figure out how you can carry that scratch pad with you or whatever it is that you need, and communication with people. And there's just so many wonderful, wonderful points. Again, though your background is in sales, the human relationship is so strongly emphasized. in your material, and I think that's what makes it a valuable resource for anyone's library. And I'll tell you, for those of you that have kids, this would be something that would be very good to be able to read to them and share with them, because it could be a family project.
And
everybody
teach
would
them.
That's
and they,
right.
And the family could have discussions. You're absolute, boy, Donna, you're bringing up points beyond what I'd even thought of. That is a wonderful idea, and it would work. I think it would work beautifully.
Diane Marie Pinkert has been my guest today. Now, she has a website. It's called theheartofsales.com, theheartofsales.com. Now, when you go there to get into the website, she's having some problems with it, but go to where it says book sale and
click on buying the book, but you don't have to buy the book.
Right.
It just gets you into the full website.
Right. There's
That'll
some kind
be
of
fixed.
Corruption. Mm-hmm. There's
yes,
some kind of corruption
be.
There. But that's going to be taken care of shortly. But regardless,
yes,
just follow her suggestion and you'll get in. Diane, I want to thank you. We're out of time. I want to thank you so much.
And I thank
this conversation.
I
overrunning each other there. Okay.
Boy, we both like to talk, don't we?
Isn't it great? This is super.
Thank you.
We can't
you.
See each other because we're on radio, so we could raise our hands and say, can I have permission now?
Yes.
Anyway,
thank
Diane
you.
Marie Pinker, just treat me like I matter. The heart of sales, but it's really the heart of human communication. And it's down to earth and real, and I know you'll enjoy it. Diane Pinkert, again, thank you for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to come back in just
thank
a moment.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Hip huzzah! My lords and ladies, come one, come all, to the 11th annual Washington Renaissance Fair at Maris Farms in Buckley, Washington, during the first three weekends in August, beginning August 1st. Bring family and friends to become part of the excitement, cheering for your favorite knight as he jousts for noble causes. Gain an audience with Her Majesty the Queen as she knights young lords and ladies, or enjoy a tankard of ale and a turkey leg experiencing the wonders of the Renaissance.
Live the legend!
Gates open 10 o'clock.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number, toll-free anywhere in the world, you can call in to 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I want to let those of you know that are in Western Washington, the Renaissance Fair, yes, the Renaissance Fantasy Fair, the next 2 weekends, it's going to be going on. I have one free family pass left. That's all I've got. One free family pass. You can use it on either weekend. And if you would like to have it, please call me at my office so that I can get it in the mail to you right away. Now, this is an event that is for the family. It is absolutely wonderful. The kids' eyes just absolutely get as big as saucers when they're watching the jousting and these magnificent horses, all of the different animals. You see people in costumes that are just exceptional, and you just will have the time of your life. Good food, wonderful craftsmen. You step through the gates, and you've gone back into a time period that is so fun to experience. So give me a call. My office number is 800-872-8852. If you're in the state of Washington and you would like to attend this wonderful event, one pass is left. Call me at 800-872-8852 if you'd like to attend, and I'll get it out to you right away. Oh, and you could also send me an email if you want, donna@delphiinternational.com, but call me because time is important. We have 2 weekends left of this 3-weekend event. It is annual, but hey, why not get into it? And the weather is going to be just gorgeously wonderful, so I'd love to have you out there. And look for my booth. I'm in the first road on your right, as you come into the Fair of Vendors, and I have huge yellow banners with gigantic red lions on them, and that's how you identify it. And, of course, I'm going to be in costume like everyone else, and I'm doing mini readings and all that kind of good stuff. So hope to see you there. So call me right away if you want that. Algae as biofuel? Well, all kinds of things are being tossed around. We are in this period of time really wanting to learn more about what we can do to get away from petroleum products. Now, that does not mean that petroleum isn't going to have its value, because it is something that will have value, but it is needed more for some other areas more significantly than for fuel. Well, I have in front of me some information that was given to me by my husband, actually, dealing with alternative energy and information about Exxon investing in algal biofuels, and they are really getting into this big time because algae can be grown so easily and can be utilized for fuel. Now, ExxonMobil apparently is investing over $600 million to develop algae-derived biofuels, and there are some companies that are participating in this. And what they want to do is genetically engineer photosynthetic algae to produce a hydrocarbon that can be processed in existing oil refineries and turned into fuels that work in our cars as they are. They can be adjusted, adapted, so that we can work with this. And I really think that the thinking about using the refineries that are already there is an outstanding one. Why not utilize what we have? And this is part of what problem solving is all about, how you can look at what you've got and you can ask yourself questions. What can we do with what we've got? Can we turn it around? Can we bring something else into the picture? Now, do they have all the answers? Heavens no, nobody ever does. But at least they're thinking. And the process is going to be as speedy as the consumer demands that it be, and it can be thought out. We've got enough people with good brain power to come up with information, believe me. So this is very, very important, and it's necessary for you to know that the research that has come along regarding corn-based fuels, they're not going to be able to grow enough corn for this. And corn really has a value in so many other levels, but for fuel, It takes a particular kind of corn, and the land mass alone that would be required to bring it up to par so that everybody could have it, well, it's going to really be a tough thing. And the algae, it can yield more than 2,000 gallons of fuel per acre per year versus the 250 gallons, same amount of space, for corn-based biofuel. So it's wonderful. I wonder what else somebody can come up with. There's one guy I remember that had been interviewed, and I think he was presented on Fox Network, and he had developed an engine that would run on water. Why not? Let's get with it. It's time. It is really, really time. And then I want to say thank you to those of you who have been sending me information via email to share on the show, because it's really significant, I think. You have a lot of good stories, and I've really enjoyed them. So keep on sending them. If you want to send me a story, or if you have some information that you think is really significant, then send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And then when it's appropriate and I'm able to use it, I will mention it on the air. I got an email from a gentleman, Lon, and he said, you know, there's certain things that I have come to understand and believe in. And he said, these are some items that I put together for myself. And he said, I feel that it doesn't make any difference how many points of significance you decide for yourself. He said it's important that you learn from your life, your failures, and your successes, not unlike what Diane was sharing with us earlier. He said you neglect any one of those, and you're taking a rocky road to learning and personal development. And these were some thoughts that he had that I think were really nice, and I thought I'd share them with you because I think it's good to give people's perspective. He said, number one, you must create and look for opportunities. Create and look for opportunities. Number two, negativity will only bring more of the same, if that's all you focus on. Negativity will only bring more of the same. And where you are does not determine where you can go. And I like that one. Think about it. Where you are does not determine where you can go. And if you can't help others, well, you're not really going to be able to do very much for yourself. And I'd like to add something to it. If you can't help yourself, and if you can't be good to yourself, you're not going to really be able to do too much for others. So it's sort of like a circle that goes around, and it just goes around. He said, follow your passion, money will follow, enjoy yourself. And if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Planning is good, but so is being spontaneous. You have a lot of talents. Don't work without rewards. Money does bring happiness. By the way, working without rewards means doing things that you hate. You know, if you don't like what you do, if you have joy in what you do, the reward sometimes is satisfaction, maybe seeing a smile on a child's face, or recognizing you've done something that's going to make a difference, it's going to last. Whether you're building a wagon or a cruise ship or designing a career, when you love what you do, it makes a difference. And someone always has it worse than you do. If you feel like you're in your pity part, get out of it and realize that you've got a lot to be grateful for. And you need other people. This was something that was really hard for me to learn when I was young, that it was okay to ask for help. You need other people, and being open-minded is the key to more knowledge. Failure is great. How many of us like that one? Well, it's the truth. It serves us well if we're willing to learn. And that most people are actually nice people. Most people are nice people. If you look at life as everybody's in it to get something, and you're never going to get anything, they're all there to take from you, and you can go on and on and on with descriptions. How miserable are you going to be? But it's a funny thing. If you really recognize that people in general are good, and they want to be kind, and they want to be thoughtful, it makes your life a lot easier. And words and thoughts control everything, and your view is your reality. And inspiration and motivation are everywhere, and you can change the world. And I thought that was well stated. I like what Lon had to say, because it is true. These important points for him. And maybe you'd like a few of them, and would just like to sort of tack up points of your own about what you feel about your philosophy of life. What is it that makes your life valuable and what is it that makes life valuable to you? Those are things sometimes we have to articulate, and writing them down is often very, very good. Life gives you frequently what you expect it to. But I liked his view of reality, his view of reality. It's a fascinating one. We're going to be taking a break, and when we come back, I'll tell you a story about a view of reality. But if you also want to call in and chat with me, the lines are open, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Hip, hip, huzzah! My lords and ladies, come one, come all, to the 11th Annual Washington Renaissance Fair at Mara's Farms in Buckley, Washington, during the first three weekends in August, beginning August 1st. Bring family and friends to become part of the excitement, cheering for your favorite knight as he jousts for noble causes. Gain an audience with Her Majesty the Queen as she knights young lords and ladies, or enjoy a tankard of ale and a turkey leg experiencing the wonders of the Renaissance.
Live the legend!
Gates open 10 o'clock.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. And don't forget, if you want information on the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, go to their website. We've got two weekends ahead of us. I'm appearing there as well as so many wonderful musicians and entertainers. So you're not going to want to miss it if you're in the state of Washington. And I have one pass left, so call me at my office, 800-872-8852. But go to their website, Washington Ren Fair, and put an E at the end of fair.com. Washington, RENSAIRE.com. But give me a call, one free family pass left, 800-872-8852 is my office number, 800-872-8852. If you'd like to get that free pass and leave your name and phone number, please, so that I can get back to you. I wanted to share with you a story about view of reality. And this is one perhaps you have heard. It's an old one. It's gone around in many, many different formats, but I really like it. And there was this man that was going into a brand new town, and he had to take a ferry to be able to get to the place where he was going to be moving to. The ferryman comes over to pick him up, and he's asking this guy, he said, gee, what's it like in such and such a community? And the ferryman said, well, what was it like where you came from? And the guy said, oh, it was stinking. I had the worst luck in the place that I was in. The people were nasty. It was just tough. I could never find a job. I just had a miserable life there. And the ferryman said, well, you know, that community is pretty much like what you just left. And the guy didn't look too happy about that. And he said, yep, people are just people. So the ferryman takes him over. Well, the ferryman goes back to the other side, and he finds that there's someone else that's waiting for him. And sure enough, there is this woman, and she's there, and she's asking him, gee, what's it like in this community? He said, oh, are you moving? She said, oh, I just have an opportunity. I'm looking for something brand new to do, and I found out about this community, this town, and I thought I would explore it and see what it's like. And he said, well, sure, he said, come on, I'll be happy to take you across the water. And so she drives her car on, and he's taking her across the water, and he said, well, what's the place like that you came from? Because she kept asking him, what is this community like? And she said, oh, the place I came from, I really hate to leave it. I've just got so many friends there. I have a wonderful job. I'm looking to expand myself, though, and I heard about the wonderful opportunities that were here. And he said, well, you know what, my dear, it's pretty much the same kind of place. And she gets off the ferry after she had chatted with a ferryman, and he said, remember, people are people, no matter where you are. And the story's moral is that no matter where you go, you take yourself. And Diane mentioned that when we were chatting in the interview. But I wanted to bring it full circle, because often our view of what life is going to color our perceptive capabilities. We have filters that we put on. And if we expect things to be really, really bad or really, really tough, that's what we're going to find. If we're looking and open to opportunities, like the young woman I just mentioned, you're not going to be found wanting. You will be able to experience that. Life has a fascinating pattern to it. What we put in our filters, how we perceive the world, usually is going to determine what we experience. And that is why the power of thought, the power of being able to shift with affirmations, maybe visualization, to what we really want is so important. And sometimes people will say, oh, but it doesn't happen. I've been doing this for a certain amount of time, and it just seems like nothing changes. Well, like anything, everything has its sense of rhythm, and there is that matter of timing. I've known many people that didn't find the success they wanted for maybe 20 or 30 years, but they kept at what they really enjoyed and what they really loved. And their success came about in a way they never could have imagined in a million years. So sometimes, if you're really trying to push hard, and you really feel that you're stuck and nothing's moving, maybe it's just time to sit back and relax and be aware of what's around you. Have gratitude for the many blessings that you are experiencing. Take time maybe to write down what you are grateful for. It's easy to whine. It's easy to complain. But the reality of life is that you can't really have a whole heck of a lot come into your life if you can't appreciate what you've already got. How many people have won the lottery? Maybe they dreamed about having millions and millions of dollars, and within just 2 years, maybe they won $62 million. $62 million has disappeared. Why? A lot of us will be very critical of that, because they didn't have an understanding of how to take what they wanted and really utilize it so that it could be an ongoing benefit of good. But it went right back out into the circulating stuff, as it always does. So if you can't appreciate where you are, how in the world are you going to be able to appreciate anything else? Live in the now. You can plan for the future. You can dream big for the future. But today is where you are. And how you work with today will guarantee something of value in your tomorrow. This is Donna Siebel, and I know we don't have a heck of a lot of time left. I did want to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking with Chris Steins, and this lady has talked to some very, very famous women throughout the world, and she titled her book Women of Wisdom, and we're going to be finding out what wisdom they want to share with us today. Tomorrow. And then I'm going to say there is the Big Book of Healing. If you want to know about various aspects of healing, Echo Bodine is going to be with us on Thursday. And then we're going to the topic of the big P, procrastination. We're going to learn how we can get rid of that nasty habit. Yes, we've all experienced it. And it's using a technique called EFT. Gloria Aronson is going to be our guest. We've got a wonderful lineup of people. I'm so glad you were able to share your time with us today, and I look forward to sharing another hour with you and many, many more. So we'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Fly with the angels. It's very, very light and easy to do. And you can do it with your mind, with your heart, and with your spirit. And there's no limit to where you can go. This is Donna. We'll be talking with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.